Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly from Seaman High School with the KWCA podcast. On today's program, we have Mark Lentz. Mark Lentz is an assistant executive director at the Kansas State High School Athletic Association, usually referred to as KSHA. Among other assignments, Mark's duties include overseeing the sport of wrestling, track and field, and football, in addition to working the numbers for classification assignments, which he has been knee-deep in for the last week or so. In light of the two huge announcements that impact wrestling regarding girls wrestling and the new procedure for weigh-ins adopted by KSHA, Mr. Lentz has agreed to hop on the KWCA podcast. We appreciate him accepting an invitation. Mr. Lentz, welcome to the program. We very much appreciate you taking the time to join us today and respect your time during this time of year especially.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. Obviously, you know, anytime we can get an opportunity to talk about our sports, and especially the sport of wrestling, since I get to work with it, I enjoy it because I'm not only do I work with them, I'm a fan of the sport as well.
Okay, so let's jump right into it. I first have a couple of questions regarding girls wrestling. That topic has been out there for a while, and most of the basic questions have been answered, but I have gathered a few. And then I'd like to get into a more fresher topic, that of the new weigh-in policy. For both topics, I've sought out input for possible questions from other coaching colleagues and just other people associated with in the wrestling circle. In regard to girls wrestling, some states have opted to kind of adapt girls wrestling over the course of a year or so to sort things out and before they jump into an official state championship. Why did KSHA feel it was important to jump in with both feet in year one?
Well, I think something different, I guess, in Kansas that has been different from some of the other states, for example, Missouri being one of the closer states to us, is the fact that we have had over the last couple of years an unofficial girls' state tournament put on at McPherson High School with a great deal of attendance from our member schools. And obviously to attend those, they had to be a member of the wrestling team. And also, you know, they had to be female. And you know, they counted as one of their points because it was a match that they, attended and were part of their school to do so, as well as there were a few other tournaments that had girls divisions, just kind of getting it out there, trying to show the interest. And you know, not every state had that opportunity to do some of that. And we had some schools, you know, willing to do it. And I think it showed to our board and showed the need that we have a great deal number of girls who are interested in the sport of wrestling. You know, where last year, you know, our numbers were 376 girls were went through hydration assessments and competed for their boys' teams. And that was something I think they looked at very well. And I have no idea what the numbers will be this year, but I anticipate they'll be pretty good.
Yeah, so speaking of those numbers, with only two girls' divisions, one division, but two regional tournaments, and they're a single-day tournament, the potential could exist for bracket sizes to be too large to be broken up and to meet the five-match limit. Will those brackets need to be altered or wrestled in a different way, single elimination, or is that something that has been thought through?
Yeah, it has. And we realize that this scenario could take place, and obviously I hope it does, and the fact that, that means we've got, you know, great participation numbers. And if that's the case, then the board will have to take a look at of possibly either doing one of two things, either making the tournaments a two-day tournament and or adding a third regional site and changing the number of qualifiers to the first year of the state tournament. A max number the first year of state right now we would like, and the brackets are set up to be an eight-person brackets. You know, the most we could go would be a 12-person bracket, which would keep us from getting to our five-mat limit issue. But we'll see what the numbers dictate. And again, hopefully we'll have great attendance, you know, and great participation, kind of like Missouri last year. Missouri started out, you know, with 100 and some girls, and they had a postseason, you know, sanctioned girls wrestling, and had almost, you know, somewhere in the near 800. So,
oh, wow.
You know, anytime you see that kind of growth, we'll see what happens in Kansas.
Okay, so originally, the last question on the girls topic, originally the thought was to establish girls weight classes after the Alpha weigh-ins. And then, if I remember right, it was sort of the idea was 10 weight classes. And how did it come up with the 11 weight classes? And then how were the specific weight classes chosen?
Yeah, what we did was, and unfortunately, you know, and that's a great question because the NFHS does not have established girls' weight divisions in the sport of wrestling, which I hope they do here in the near future. And that would help a lot of us states with that type of a question. But what I did, and, you know, we talked about doing that, and then the executive board visiting with them, they wanted to see it in the sport manual. So I'd already done the research on that as well, where I took every girl, all 376 girls, and looked at their weights last year, or were turned in on our database, and broke them down in the number of girls in I looked at about four or five different sets of weight classes. I also looked at it matching up with what Missouri has, and Tennessee has, and Colorado has, et cetera, Texas. And then there's a couple of states that even use all 14 of the boys' weight classes. So we took a look at all of them, and what was the best numbers for our girls, those 376 girls, to be an equal through. And we wanted to go ahead, and our board wanted to add an 11th. We looked at 10, we looked at 12. We looked at 14. They looked at the 11 because we wanted to have an upper division where we chose that division to be at 235. You know, the funny thing about it is it's very similar to the girls' divisions in the NAIA. And I'm not saying we had to do that or anything such as that. It's just kind of where our numbers as far as weights for those female participants fell.
Okay, well, that was an interesting process. And it sounds like, you know, very specific to our data here in Kansas. So that really sounds like it was well thought out.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, there's still, you know, a lot of people, you know, helped. And then that's the best part of it is that, you know, it's not just me, but, you know, we feel like we had to give our girls the best opportunity to have success.
All right. So now on to the weight management system. And again, I've kind of taken questions from a lot of different areas, and I think I've got about 11 to 12 or so, and I've roughly divided them up into little subtopics. So let's just jump in with the first one here. Who initially brought up the weigh-in issue as a concern to be discussed with the board?
We've had a couple of leagues bring this up to us, as well as some other, you know, just separate coaches around the state. Now, with that being said, you know, obviously this wasn't a proposal that goes to the board of directors. This is something that only goes to the executive board. And it's something that we've kind of talked about a little bit with the executive board over the past couple of years, in the fact that we haven't been compliant with National Federation rules with our weigh-in policy. And so we kind of initiated it a little bit back in the spring, and they kept tabling it. The board did. And at the last board meeting, the board devoted to let's initiate this right now. There's no reason to wait. If that's something we're going to do, that's what our board did.
Okay, so it had been a couple of board meetings past this, when it was past this current, the last board meeting. It had been a few board meetings previous to that it had been brought up.
Yeah, and back in the it was talked about in the April meeting, the June meeting. And then, which I thought they were going to act one way or another in the June meeting, and they did not. They wanted to table it to the September meeting, and so they continued the conversation a little bit. And, you know, they had a choice of either, you know, taking it out to regional meetings for discussion, or to pass it, or to, you know, do nothing. And what they did was they made the choice to enact it immediately for this upcoming season.
Okay, so after, you know, back to the, you know, that spring meeting or two meetings ago when it was initially discussed, what groups did the board consult to help understand the issue a little bit better and to fact find, you know, coaches, administrators, medical professions, just who was involved in the process for those individuals to come to a decision?
I do know advice was sought from the Sports Medicine Committee. You know, a lot of that has to do with just pure, not just weigh-ins, but talking about the all sport of wrestling, you know, and safety became a concern, which I'll talk about probably in some other questions here. But, and whether or not, and I can't answer the question of, because those board members represent their classifications, those board members represent, you know, leagues when they are part of the board of directors. You know, hopefully they went out and, you know, sought the ideas of those and, you know, within their classifications, et cetera, but I can't answer that question.
Okay. So was the National Federation, have they pressured Keisha in any way to be compliant and get on board with what the weigh-in rule is nationally, like over the years?
You know, National Federation always encourages us to be compliant. I don't want to use the word pressure to do so, but they are constantly, you know, checking to see, you know, who's going to be compliant. And the safety part of it, because even at the summer meeting this past summer at the National Federation, you know, that continued to be a topic of conversation just on, you know, the pure safety and having the weight variations and, you know, those that don't weigh in by National Federation rules. How are you assuring that they, you know, a wrestler is at a very similar weight? Obviously, when they step on the mat, they could be different what they weigh in. But there was such a differential possibility when you weighed in at 7 a.m. for something that may take place in the evening, where someone could be, you know, it could be a 10, 12, 15-pound difference in weights, just in the same weight class. So they looked at all aspects of that, and we kind of left it up to our board to kind of make a decision with that and talked about all the compliance as well.
And so the safety part of it roughly deals with the weight reduction or weight cutting component to, you know, to the sport of wrestling. Is that what I'm kind of hearing?
Yes and no. I mean, yeah, that's one part of it, obviously. The other part of it has to do with the fact that you want individuals to be, that's why we have weight classes. You know, I always use 106 because it's, you know, it has a number one weight class there. But, you know, when you get in the mat, you hope for your 106 pounders are all, you know, weighing at 106 pounds, you know, and having that, when they step on that mat, if it's an hour before or hour, 2 hours before when they weigh in, that you know that that individuals are going to be somewhat similar weights when they step out there. You know, a kid could have lost some weight and, you know, once they ate a little bit and drank a little bit, they could be a little bit heavier. But we could have had some serious differences in weight classes. Actually, I know we have. You know, you can easily see that, you know, when a match starts. But it was just to make sure that there was more common weights when they were actually stepping on the mat.
Just to be clear, now that we are compliant, do we have a vote now when things come up, or are there other things that we're not compliant with?
No, we would be compliant now with National Federation rules, and we would have a voice on those rule changes. So that is a good thing. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, we don't follow the exact weight management system in National Federation. What the rules say is you have to have a weight control policy, and we have a weight control policy. You know, some believe it's good, some believe it probably needs some improvement. You know, I don't believe we're near ready to follow a quote descent plan like you know, some people have done, for example, Nebraska, Missouri, and their descent plan. I think there's more to that, and there's other things that we need to look at. You know, that could be anywhere from, you know, certification date, how we go about certifying, and those type of things. But it needs to be what's in the best interest, obviously, of the student athletes.
Okay, so the descent plan piece is kind of on the shelf for now, and, you know, kind of a wait and see maybe for the next year on that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and I'm not saying even next year is the right time to even do that, but I think it's the conversation's going to need to be had. And it may take, you know, several people involved in a group to have that conversation, along with, obviously, you think sports medicine definitely needs to be involved in some of those discussions as well.
So the national rule really just pertains to how weigh-ins are conducted. The other piece to it, the hydration and the alpha weights and all that, are kind of still up to the states to decide what they want to do?
Yeah, it is, because you just have to have a weight control management system, and we do. The one thing, you know, other thing we do not do that most do is we don't do body fat assessments, you know, and I understand that, but it's also difficult to do body fat assessments. It's also a huge expense for schools to do body fat assessments. And getting the right systems, being trained how to do so, or having to pay for somebody to come and conduct those body fat, like some of our states have to do. And I don't think that's fair to put on our schools at this point in time, especially when you're talking about finances. But, you know, is there something else we need to do? I don't know the answer to that right now, because we still have to keep track of what is the best interest of these student athletes. You know, what's too much weight to lose? You know, there's a difference between weight loss and body fat loss. So we'd have to look at, you know, all the scenarios involved in all of that.
So will officials be required to conduct weigh-ins and complete skin checks during that time?
They are not required to do so, but it's up to tournament management. If tournament management wants seen officials to conduct the weigh-ins, then, you know, they can have officials conduct the weigh-ins. But it is up to tournament management. Tournament management could do it. Funny, this is definitely a popular, you know, question among some people. And I had a question yesterday from a coach, and the coach asked, you know, if we have the big tournament, you know, can, you know, we have multiple scales set up. And, you know, for example, if I'm, you know, yourself, Topeka Seaman, and we got another school, you know, Topeka Seaman's weighing in maybe this weight class, somebody else is weighing in this weight class. It's just kind of overseeing it all. You know, whatever's the best. The skin checks are still there. They have to do the skin checks. They have to do skin checks each day of competition. You know, unfortunately, this is one of the major concerns in the sport of wrestling. And, it's definitely a high priority for the NWCA. It's not just them, National Sports Medicine, the collegiate level, et cetera. You know, dealing with skin diseases and those type of things. Just, you know, keeping a handle on it so that programs don't have to shut down during the season because of keeping track of, you know, the skin issues with kids.
On the way the rule reads is that a maximum of 2 hours for tournaments, a maximum of an hour for dual meets. So who decides when what the time is? Is it the home school? In other words, could they say
the host school is going to set those up. And obviously, you know, there's that concern of, you know, what time does the school have to leave to get there and those type of things. And I think everybody has to take all that into play, you know, whether or not, you know, you change the start time of tournaments, those type of things, or duels or whatever that may be. But again, that's some conversations within each of our schools or each of our tournaments that are being hosted. But that would be up to the host tournament or the management team for the home school.
Okay, so I mean, in theory, it could be they could say that we're going to do weigh-ins 15 minutes before the start of the event.
Well, you'd hope not, because you want kids to be hydrated properly. I think most people want to do it, you know, an hour before, you know, because you want to have plenty of time to warm up and get hydrated and those type of things so that you're ready to wrestle.
Again, I think you kind of touched on it, but did this, did discussion take place in regarding lost instructional time, possibility of lost instructional time as a result of the change?
You know, there was some conversation, not a great deal. A lot of that's still going to be the choice of schools, the choice of tournament management. Again, that's all schools. So, you know, they're going to have to do what's in best interest of their student athletes. You know, obviously, I think it's important, you know, that loss of instructional time. But on the other hand, we got people that travel all over the place, and sometimes they don't seem like it's as big a concern. But I think it's always a concern that we keep track of, you know, kids, you know, being in the classroom and coaches being in the classroom if they happen to be teachers as well.
So will this impact the earlier start for competitions during the week that Keisha passed a few years ago, that we could start at, I believe it was 2 o'clock during the week? Does the weigh-in, will that change that at all?
I don't think so. I don't believe it does. Obviously, the weigh-in's not the competition. And again, it's just everybody's going to have to do what's best for their school if they're hosting. And that affects a lot of things. You know, whether or not you got school in attendance, and, you know, you got parking, you got, you know, a plan, and people have to make a plan and prepare for it, whatever's the best interest of them.
Is it mandatory to do a random draw for duels, or is it still mutually agreed upon, or is that a factor?
No, mutually agreed upon. You know, some people like to do a random draw. Some prefer not to. You know, obviously we do it, you know, in our tournaments in the postseason. We think it's good. We don't think that the last match always has to be the 285-pound kids, because we want people there. We want people excited to stick around and watch all kids participate. But, again, we'll leave that mutually agreed upon.
Okay, so it's not, again, not part of the national rule that you have to do a random draw.
No, it is not required.
And lastly, just to, again, maybe more clarification, but will the alpha weigh-ins and certification process change at all? And I guess specifically with this is certification would seem to be an unfair burden for those that host early season tournaments.
The most popular question is that one right there that I've had since this was announced. So what we're going to do, and, you know, we've completed the manual, and although the manual is leaving one thing out of it, hydration, initial hydration assessments will be the same. Nothing has changed there. Obviously, they need to be conducted, you know, with the school administrator present, which I hope all schools are doing that. You know, I know that I continue to hear a word, and whether or not it's true or not true is that school administrators are not always present when those type of things take place, which it's not a good thing when we have a policy that states they need to be there. But we want them there, you know, just to oversee the process. And then the certification weigh-in, which we currently, obviously, this last few years, said that the hydration assessment had to take place during certification weigh-in time. You're right. We do not want that burden on a host school administrator to do. So we are still do not have the answer to that question. I know what we're going to talk about at Sports Medicine meeting here coming up in the next couple of weeks, and which we'll have ready to go for the wrestling season. But it's just something to look at. You know, we're looking at possibly that we have a whole week. You know, why does it have to be a competition weigh-in that we do certification when Alpha is not a, quote, certification weigh-in there as well? So we're just taking a look at all those options and need to do what's best for our schools on that.
So we've been visiting with Assistant Executive Director for the Kansas State High School Athletic Association, Mark Lentz. Mr. Lentz, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. We look forward to seeing you in Salina at the 2019 Fritz Knorr Fall Clinic. You'll still be doing your live rules meeting at that time this year. I understand that the schedule might have changed a little bit, but can we expect to see you out there?
Yep, I'll be there. And yeah, I think that meeting got moved to 10 o'clock just to accommodate one of the great speakers they've got from the University of Nebraska, which is a good thing. So hope coaches attend, and coaches become part of the KWCA. Obviously, it's not a mandatory, but I'm sure the meetings will be quite exciting.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you again for taking the time. We really, really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.